These days, there's a lot of talk about walls. Have you noticed that? Heaven knows we're good at that. Not just talking about them, but also building them. So it may not surprise us that politically, socially, and spiritually, we continue practices that reinforce old ways. To be sure, boundaries and borders are useful at times. They help differentiate me from you. They hold up structures. They keep strangers at bay. They provide order. They define responsibility. It's useful to know where home is and whether the door you enter is really yours or someone else's. It was a dark and stormy night. The month was February, 3 a.m. It was cold. It was raining. The wind blew. I was home sleeping. Suddenly, I heard pounding on my front door. Then it stopped. Then it started again, this time by attempts to wiggle the knob and try to enter. I heard whimpering too. "Let me in, let me in, let me in," came the voice from outside. Well, to say I was startled is an understatement. I tried peering out the window. I couldn't see my unexpected visitor. And actually, I'll admit, I got kind of scared. What do you do at that hour of the day? I called 911. "Well, is that person armed?" "I don't know. I'm not going to go out and find out." "Do you know this person?" "I don't think so, but I can't see them." "Is there more than one person?" "I have no idea." And finally, pounding rain, persistent knocking, insistent pleading. It was no longer a good night for sleeping. I was relieved when the local officer came to the door and approached my wannabe house guest. Through the door, I heard the conversation. I didn't go out and look for myself. It turns out my visitor was known to the officer. I took comfort that I was protected from the elements. This young man was inebriated, lost. He thought he was home. He was two blocks from home. My house must have looked a little like his own, and he thought his family had just locked him out for the evening. So he really did just want to get in and get warm. When I regained my wits and my visitor headed home in the company of local officer Jones or whatever his name was, I prayed a prayer of gratitude that no one was hurt and that my young guest was safe and sound, warm and dry. You can see from this episode, it's true, by the way, that I do know that boundaries, borders, and walls can serve useful purposes. At the same time, I know they can be, and so do you. We know that they're often destructive, divisive, and dangerous. Think of the personal walls that have been erected in your life. I don't know why this idea came to me, but as I was preparing for this, I was recalling my third grade teacher. And my third grade teacher, bless her heart, meant well, I'm sure, on the report card she sent home at the end of the year, which my mother, she should have kept this to herself, I think, but read back to me, "Jimmy is not very creative," was the comment on the report card. Now, I don't think she intended to erect a wall of any kind there, but you know, ever since, I've stumbled every time I try to do something creative, and I wonder, well, am I or am I not? Was she right? Can I do this? But there are all kinds of walls that are erected on a personal level. Some stigmatize us, some shame us, some embarrass us, some prevent us from reconciling old wounds. Some make us mad. Personal walls, we know about those and the effect that they have on our lives. There are religious walls, too. We could talk about a lot of different kinds of religious walls, but maybe we should stay with our own tradition here today. Not all of us in the room were raised Lutheran. I know that. We all have different religious experiences. I know that. But let's take a look at the Lutheran Church, for example. We know that over time it surely has built walls. Do you remember if you were Danish, you didn't talk with the Swedish Lutherans? Or the joke from North Dakota, where I served my first parish, is, you know, there was this little town, and it had this intersection where there were four Lutheran churches, the Germans, the Finns, the Swedes, and the Norwegians. All week long, they talked to each other. On Sunday, they didn't. Yeah. We've done a good job of building walls as people. If one wasn't sort of one of those Scandinavian in-groups, we didn't belong at all, really. We've constructed divisions that have often hurt Christianity. And maybe you've heard, I have, or thought, or said something like, well, at least we're not Catholic, or Baptist, or Evangelical, or Mormon, or legalistic, or heaven forbid Missouri Synod. By the way, I have to say, I had the most marvelous conversation this week over a cup of coffee with the interim pastor at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation. It was just great, and we had such a healing conversation, I could hardly believe it afterwards. These days, self-righteous religionists may say something more along the lines of, well, at least I'm not Muslim, or Baha'i, or Buddhist, or you fill in the blank. We're good at building walls, aren't we? And then there are nationalistic walls. There's plenty to celebrate on this Independence Day weekend. Trust me, I believe that. But it's especially tempting and dangerous to promulgate the myth that we're the only truly free, good, democratic people in the world. And yet this myth persists again and again and again. And it makes suspects out of strangers and enemies out of foreigners and fuels the impulse to erect ever greater barriers to friendship, mutuality, and the common good. We could name lots of walls and barriers, physical walls, psychological walls, glass ceilings, racial profiling, litmus tests, intentional or not. All these reveal our penchant for boundaries, barriers, borders, walls, and the ill effects they have on us as individuals and a society. Just a week ago, I returned from the annual National Lutheran Campus Ministry Conference, which was held at the University of Maryland just outside of Washington, D.C. It was a great place to meet, and the conference was really amazing. We met under the same theme as my sermon title today, so that conference was helpful in preparing for today. Bridging boundaries, borders, and walls. Part inspiration, part business, part challenge, we explored together the experience we all have with these things. We looked at the barriers between peoples and reinforcing walls. We visited with people who worked tirelessly from the perspective of faith to bridge those barriers. We chose feet on the ground field trips to national monuments and centers of justice to see more clearly the walls that have divided our society and the world we live in. One of the privileges I had was to go to the National Congress of the American Indian and followed that with a visit to the Native American Museum on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Talk about powerful experiences. And, well, we could go on a long time, which I don't have time for, about the ways in which people groups have done terrible things to each other in the name of democracy and freedom and other such things. In the heart of D.C., the seat of power and the repository of our nation's history, we learned how easily justice is breached and how deep dividing lines are drawn to separate people and groups. At the same time, we heard testimony of those whose daily work is to bridge those divides, to heal old wounds, to create just solutions, and build a better world. It was an awesome, inspiring, challenging conference, to say the least. So I come back, well, disturbed and inspired to know just how much work lies ahead to tear down divisions between peoples and, in place of those walls, to build bridges of understanding, mutual respect, and hope. Yet the gospel promise of Jesus, who comes near for the healing of the nations, helps keep me going and pressing on because of the assurance that such work is not out of reach for us. If we take the Gospel of Luke as a whole book, it's a kind of a physician's manual for building bridges from hurt to hope, from heartbreak to soul mending. Just think of the countless miracles Jesus performed in the service of building bridges, healing divisions, building bridges caused by ethnic rivalry, poverty, shame, purity laws, religious prohibitions, moral judgments. He told the truth, and the truth breached walls of gated communities behind which the self-satisfied hid in false comfort. He crossed borders of prejudice that held his hearers back from truly encountering the neighbor. Simultaneously, he applied the balm of deep wounds of mistrust that kept people and fear far apart. Through bridging barriers, Jesus turned despair to hope, stranger to guest, enemy to friend, and war to peace. If creating boundaries, reinforcing barriers, and building walls are works of the old way, the new work, the new way to which we are called as people of God, is to build bridges in Jesus' name, to breach barriers, to make boundaries permeable. No one is beyond the reach of Christ's healing. No one who follows him is exempt from his mission of universal peace, mercy, wholeness, and hope. When the kingdom of God draws near, relationships are healed, divisions disappear, health returns, social structures are made just, the machinery of war becomes implements of peace, and even the lion and the wolf, even the lamb and the wolf lay down together in ease. I hope today and always we are known as bridge builders, peacemakers, wall destroyers in the name of Christ. Amen.